Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma for Tuesday, March 2nd, 2010 on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Stagel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do every 2 weeks on Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. This show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals to lead organizational change at Enclaria LLC. The Change Agent's Dilemma is how to influence change without authority. And when we talk about influence, I tend to put them in two different categories. One is personal influence, sort of that one-on-one, how do you relationally influence people, yourself. And then there's structural influence, which is more the systems that you put in place to help influence change in your organization. And today, we'll be talking about the latter. One of the things that you do with structural influence is develop performance management systems. And so today, my guest is Dr. Janet Hecht, who is going to share her experience and expertise on the topic of performance management design for organizational change. Janet is the managing principal at Talent by Design Consulting, LLC, located in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Janet has over 15 years of experience in many areas of human capital, including talent management, performance management, competency management and succession planning, employee engagement, change management, workforce planning, and training, among other things. Janet has designed and implemented business solutions for clients in the public sector and across multiple industries, including manufacturing, telecommunications, media, technology, and education. And she also has a PhD in industrial and organizational psychology. Janet, thank you for being here.
Heather, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So let's just start right off the bat with the 400-pound gorilla, which is why is performance management sort of a four-letter word in organizations? The way that it's traditionally done, you know, in my mind, I think of things like annual performance reviews that people typically think are not honestly very effective. And so I just wanted to start off the bat and say, you know, why is that?
Well, first, I mean, there are justified reasons for it being a four-letter word. And you mentioned that you view performance management as this performance evaluation you get at the end of the year. And that's how a lot of companies operate. And performance evaluations are often unfair. And they're actually only part of what performance management's about. And I think the biggest complaint is people really do perceive them as unfair. And they can be unfair. One of the reasons is sometimes when they're done, managers only capture the last 2 months, maybe a performance, instead of what somebody did throughout the entire year. Also, they can be incredibly subjective. And the better you design your performance management process, the less subjectivity there is in the system. However, there is always going to be some level of subjectivity. Also, a couple other reasons, the four-letter words, is managers don't really know how to properly develop a performance plan that you understand to execute and what your expectations are. And the number one deficit in employee performance is they do not know what's expected of them. And I think it's considered a once-a-year event instead of an ongoing process. And I think one of the big things to remember is performance management cannot replace a bad manager.
Yes, good point. So, well, if that's the reason why it's frequently not the best kind of system, what are the pieces of an effective performance management system?
Well, there are two main pieces to what a program would look like, what would be in the performance plan that the employee would be evaluated on. Those are goals and competencies. Goals should start with the organization's goal, and an employee should understand how their goal contributes to the organization. But the goal talks about what needs to be accomplished and how it needs to be accomplished. Really, the goals, if you do goals, they really need to be SMART goals. And for those that aren't familiar with SMART goals, SMART goals stands for, SMART specific, because that tells you how, why, and what the goal is. They need to be measurable. People need to know when they've achieved their goal, and they need to know milestones on the way. Because if you can't measure it, then it is going to be totally subjective. It also has to be achievable. Oftentimes, there are managers who make things really something that somebody can't achieve. However, it can't be something that's too easy. They need to be relevant. The employee needs to know how they contribute to the job. And they need to be timely. They need to be time-bound. You need to know it has to have a start date and an end date. Otherwise, it'll just be open-ended. Competencies. Goals are the what needs to get done, and competencies are how do you go about getting things done. So they're like the knowledge, skills, and abilities people bring to their job. So there are some of these are job-specific or occupational-specific, such as knowledge, accounting principles and your knowledge of accounting principles and GAAP if you're an accountant. Others are about behavioral competencies. They are things such as customer service and teamwork. One of the reasons competencies are important, in addition to goals, is somebody may achieve their goal on time, but they've alienated their whole team and angered some customers in the process, so that really is an issue with their performance. With competencies, they need to be defined clearly so that managers know examples of what satisfactory performance looks like, unacceptable performance, and excellent performance looks like. Also, timing. It has a, like we discussed earlier, there's a mid-year and there's an end-of-the-year evaluation of how most people perceive it. But a performance management program really starts with the planning. And that's developing the goals and the competencies at the beginning of the performance year. And then, in order to be effective, there needs to be periodic checks and conversations between the manager and the employee. At a minimum, a performance management program should require managers to do a formal mid-year review with their employees. Because if the employee's off target for the first 6 months, they may not get back on target. So it gives that gives an opportunity for course correction, and if need be. Quarterly reviews are even better, because then every 3 months there's this formal communication. However, really the purpose of effective performance management is for the manager to be effectively communicate with their employee and so that they each know what's expected of the employee and what is being done. And that's an issue because, as you know, some managers have a huge span of control and they really don't know necessarily what's going on and they don't see the day-to-day activities of their employee. So I know some people have like weekly status meetings with their manager and that could just be a 10-minute conversation. And the end is, why do all this anyway? And what are the incentives and why do performance management? Well, many organizations, your performance, how you're evaluating your performance is tied to pay. And you know, if you're not satisfactory, you may not get a pay raise. And so it's paying for performance, which, you know, makes sense. However, in economic times, certain economic times, and in other certain sectors, such as the public sector, there's not always money available to reward employees with bonuses or raises. However, it doesn't matter. Employees need to be recognized or rewarded in some ways for good performance, and they need to know when they're not performing well. So there are different types of ways you can reward employees. without money, offering them flexible scheduling, letting them telework, working on a committee, something that that employee would like. Not all employees like the same thing. There's an article on my website, talentbydesignconsulting.com, that talks about some of those strategies. Also, the book Love 'Em or Lose 'Em is a really good book, resource on this topic.
Great. Thank you for those. So if you have a system that includes goals, it includes competencies, it's happening more than once a year, and you've got some kind of incentives tied to it, how do you link that system then? How do you design it for organizational change?
Well, with organizational change, you know, one of the main things that needs to happen is that there needs to be change in employee behavior and have employees, embrace the change. And as I mentioned before, people not knowing what is expected of them is the number one deficit in employee performance. Also, the number one reason people leave their jobs is because of their direct supervisor. So if you can develop a system that helps with those two issues, that can help the employee embrace what is going on in the company itself. Also, the performance management system, as we did talk about, really should involve ongoing coaching and feedback between the manager and the employee. So when performance management was properly done, can create a continuous feedback and communication link between managers and employees. And depending on the employee's role in the change initiative that goes on, that is evolved, that can be part of their performance plan. With this done, the increased communication will kind of help the information flow. Because as most organizations, one of the biggest complaints is the communication is always a challenge. I think one of the biggest things is the communication trickling down to all levels. Things often get stuck with the manager who doesn't communicate and stuff. So by improving the manager's communication and feedback skills, that will help with the employees and the managers embracing change.
So now I know you've had experience as an internal practitioner, I guess, implementing a performance management system. Can you tell us, or tell the audience, tell me, how do you go about implementing a new performance management system?
Well, there's two things. First, you need to determine, one thing is you need the buy-in of senior management, because the performance management needs to be at all levels of the organization.
Definitely.
As you need the buy-in of senior management to do anything effectively. First, you need to determine what you want performance management to look like in your company. What are the goals? What are the goals of the company, and how would those translate to department goals and team goals and individual goals? That is one thing. You determine how you're going to have you want that to look like. And then with competencies, you need to have a clearly defined, dictionary of competencies to use. But most companies, what we did, I actually worked for the state of Georgia, and we rolled out a new performance management system to the entire state. So there was over 55,000 employees and over 100 agencies. And it was very challenging because there was different levels of readiness, different agencies, different levels of access to technology. So first you need to decide what it looks like. And with the competencies, we required that there are five core competencies required of all employees in the company. You know, they were customer service and teamwork were two of those. And that created consistency in the system in the competency arena. Also, managers had two leadership competencies, and one of them was to effectively manage performance. So that is something they need to be evaluated on. Then once you identify what you want it to look like, then you need to decide what software platform you're going to run it on. Many companies already have human resource information systems, and if they do, the performance management might run it on there or something that communicates with it. Large businesses use things like PeopleSoft and SAP. There's a lot of performance management programs out there, and they're different costs, and they do different things. A few of them are Wingspan, Halogen Software, Taleo, SuccessFactors, and SumTotal. Those are some of the ones out there. Some of these are more adaptable than others to your needs. Some are more customizable than others, so you have to require retooling. Then, obviously, you need a project plan. And if the change management and the change management strategy is really critical to success, because constant communication needs to go on. I was responsible for the change management role, so I had to determine what we needed to look like, who we need to communicate with, where to identify the readiness for change up front. So I had a team of four that worked with me on this. I had to develop things that went to the governor's office, and then some that were written for employees. So an employee with a 10th grade education or 10th grade reading level would be able to read it. So tailoring the communications. I think the biggest thing is you need to train on the system. If you don't train, then it's going to fail. And the training, managers need to be trained on how to do the process and how to use the system. But most importantly, the managers need to be trained on how to provide feedback and do coaching of employees. That's the crux of the matter. Most organizations, they train their managers on the performance management system and then ignore the employees. But it's really important to train the employees on what the process is and the system and how they use the system. Employees can help managers write their goals, and the best performance plans are a collaboration between the manager and the employee. So those are really the key. And then a constant follow-up to make sure, I had to make sure that HR directors, things were going smoothly for them. What were their issues? We had different communities of interest that had different needs, so we split them up, and we had biweekly change readiness calls with them. And that was a really wonderful key to success.
So what are some of the pitfalls to watch out for when you're implementing a system like that?
Of course, there's lack of buy-in. And I think one of the biggest is managers not actually changing their behaviors. And it seems daunting at first. And managers learning to write goals can be really challenging, and they may not get it until the second year. But often if you've got something like we did where it was like the performance plan was humongous and had these different lists of tasks state from the job description, and instead of talking about how those combine in a goal to achieve a goal and getting them this mindset that's been built in for years in the state, so getting managers to change their mindset was huge. Also, not having a good project plan or a change management plan. If you don't have those, then it's not going to implement well. And then the training needs to be done, and it needs to be done in a timely manner.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that at one point that one of the biggest complaints about performance management systems is that they're not fair. So how do you keep a system fair?
Sadly, you cannot remove all the subjectivity out of the system, but there are ways to make it more fair. For example, our competency, since all managers and employees were evaluated on the same competencies, there's consistency. So when you look at different managers, you can see their managers across the board are rating these people on the same things, but they look different for different jobs. So more consistency in the system, that helps. Implementing a 360 or multi-rater feedback system helps. For those not familiar, that's where you have different people give feedback on the employee's performance. Could be peers, subordinates, people they worked with on a committee, even customers. And what the manager can do, well, manager can get that input, and that'll help the manager when doing the evaluation, because the manager may not really know what all their employee does. One of the other real keys to success, which is not done a lot, but when it's done, it really helps, is having review teams. Once managers have written their performance evaluation, there's a review team of managers. For example, if you have 10 managers who all supervise customer service reps, there would be a review team to look at those managers' ratings, how they evaluated their people, and see if there's consistency. Because you have those managers that don't give anybody a decent rating. They're hard on everybody. You have those other managers who don't do anything. Say everybody's excellent when everyone's not. So looking at those across the board really helps you identify, and then the manager can go back and learn what they're doing wrong and how to appropriate about it. That helps the consistency in the organization.
Well, I know sometimes there's a problem with people trying to cheat the system, trying to get better scores and things like that. How do you avoid things like that?
You mean in terms of trying to up their score by the way they rate things?
Right.
Well, those review panels do help, and people do that, and they will rate it and try to, and that's an issue, and it comes actually, it's accountability, making the managers accountable for what they do. And that's why the managers need to be evaluated on their performance by their bosses. So that is one way to help avoid cheating the system. Sadly, there's always some cheaters out there. But if you have an HR director that really looks at the performance management, what's going across, that also helps with that issue.
So some people listening might be thinking, well, this sounds awfully time-consuming. So what are some of the benefits of putting together a system like this to help with organizational change?
But it actually does sound time-consuming, and actually a part of it is time-consuming, and especially the first year you implement the program. But the time-consuming bit, the most time-consuming bit, comes up at the beginning of the performance year when you do the performance plan versus the end of the year when you're doing the evaluation. And I've managed like 12 employees at one point, and doing evaluations on 12 employees at the end of the year took forever. However, at the beginning of the year, they all had similar jobs, so they all could have the same goals and competencies, so their plans would look similar for the most part, so you really kind of develop a plan. But it can be time-consuming to develop those SMART goals and identify those competencies, and because the goals are really hard to write. However, once you've developed it up front, you have it for the entire year. And so at the end of the year, there should be no surprises. The employees should not get any surprises on their evaluation.
Okay.
And that's if you're doing it right and you're having the reviews and the feedback that's supposed to go on. Because then the employee, so the benefits is you help employees stay on track. And managers know what's going on with their employees, and it actually helps them understand how their job contributes to the company's success.
And the changes that are going on, how they're linked to that.
Exactly.
Great. So if someone listening wanted to take this on, how would they learn more?
They could go to my website, talentbydesignconsulting.com, and when you go to the website, you can contact me directly, and I would be happy to talk with anybody about what's going on in their organization and different ideas and what might be some ways they could go about discussing that in their organization.
Okay. Anything else that you'd like to add while we're still on the air?
Yeah, I just want to say, I want to kind of go back to the change piece.
Yeah.
And talk about how critical that was for our success when we did our implementation, because our agency is very good at developing programs, but did not always have the best reputation with when they actually went out to implement things in the field, because they did not communicate with the customers. The customers felt like they were dumped on, and then we also didn't really have any. We don't really have any official authority over them. if they don't do it, there were no repercussions. This happened with getting them to do their workforce plans, their succession plans. It was across the board.
Sure.
So our implementation would not have been successful if we didn't do change management and do it appropriately. It was just wonderful because we had these customer service boards who say, no one ever tells what's going on. This is one thing we actually know what's happening. We understand what we need to do. And it was just to see that. But it was a challenge because there were so many different needs, different levels of buy-in in different agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Some agencies, because they all had their own HR department who did their own thing.
Oh, right.
Some, so you weren't, you know, they weren't like subsidiaries. They were their own agency. They do their own thing. There's a lot of redundancy in government. But some of these
and
HR.
Everywhere.
Yes.
Not against those governments.
Yeah, that was definitely an education. Some agencies, HR was part of the leadership team, and it was a strategic contributor. And other agencies, HR was just viewed as this transactional thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did not have really any power or authority in their organization, did not have any really capital they could use to get their senior buy-in. So that was a huge, those were huge challenges they faced. And we tried to help them as much as we could. And we developed and we worked with them, talked about what kind of communications can we develop for you that you can take to your boss. We developed something that was given to all agency heads, but we talked to them. We asked them what they needed, and we constantly listened to what they needed, and that was critical to success.
Great.
One other thing, real quick. Challenge we had: some of them wanted us to do everything for them, but at the end of the day, they had to do the implementation in their agency.
Sure.
And so we also had to do this, where does hand-holding end and empowerment begin? So that was a challenge with some of them.
Interesting. Well, thanks so much for adding that. That's very important. How to influence change without authority.
Difficult.
So, Janet, thanks so much for being here and telling that story and sharing your tips for how to develop and design a performance management system for organizational change. I appreciate you being here.
I really enjoyed thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Great. So the next show will be on Tuesday, March 16th, 2010 at 11 a.m. Eastern. I actually don't know the topic yet. I'm working on getting a guest. If I don't have a guest, it'll be me. But either way, we will have a show on March 16th. In the meantime, if you'd like to see how we might work together to influence change in your organization, please visit www.enclaria.com. While you're there, make sure you sign up to receive the Change Starts Here workbook for free. It's a 30-page step-by-step guide that will help you gain clarity about what you're really trying to do with your change initiative. So make sure you take advantage of that. Thank you so much for listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma. Take care and best wishes for your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Yeah.